film that's sexy, filled with octopuses and divorce and other topics that are interesting. Well, I've got a film for you today, folks, for a new episode of You Missed It. Film's called Possession from 1981, from Andreas Zulawski. He's a Polish director. This is probably his best known work, I would say. I haven't really seen anything else by him besides this movie. But it stars Sam Neill and Isabel Adrani, who's I think is amazing in this movie. She's also been nominated for like 2 Oscars for like other films and stuff, so she's had quite a career, but she vowed after this movie to never do a role like this ever again, and she never did, and had a hard time recovering from it for years. So, yeah, quite something, but it's a delicious film. And before we get into it, though, I'm going to, I guess, pimp out our social medias for the You Missed It show. So you got /YouMissedIt on Facebook, @YMI_podcast on Twitter, @YMI_podcast on Instagrammies. You got for SoundCloud.com /YouMissedItPodcast. You Missed It on iTunes. And You Missed It podcast on the YouTubies, as well as, of course, Spotify, which most people use nowadays. So just find us with You Missed It on there. But I really want to get into some reactions before I can say anything. I want to hear what the people here have to say. Cause...
No, I want to know why. I want you, before we get into our details, I really want to know what you like about this movie.
You're giving your opinion already, John.
No. I just want to hear...
You just want to start with your opinion?
I just want to start with you. You need to sell this movie.
I don't need to sell this movie. I played the movie. You've got to take it in. I think this movie is really cool because it examines a lot of different topics. It's very much an art house film where it can be about many different things. There's many different theories about the movie. And I just love the shots. The performances, I think, are amazing in the movie. And, yeah, I just think it's a crazy film that if you kind of come back to it, you kind of pick up more things every time. And I find the first time you watch the movie, it's just a big wall of confusion. And then you kind of come back to it and you kind of pick up little things. Or you get into, like, discussions and things about the movie. And it becomes one of those art house gems that, like, people kind of really into these, you know, types of films, you know, tend to like bound together and kind of, you know, hail this movie in a big way. So it's got some of the most fucked up scenes like that you ever see. You definitely have never seen a movie like it. And yeah, I just like it. Clearly Jack likes it too, but we'll hear more about that later, but I got to go in order. It's tradition. So Andrew's got to be the first one to give his review. He's the lucky contestant number one. So, Sander, what do you think about the, Zulawski, experience?
What the actual fuck, Zach? Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know what I watched. Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of art house.
Yeah,
that doesn't make all art house doesn't need automatically have to mean confusing.
No,
or pretentious.
No.
It doesn't make it good just because it's fucking confusing.
It is, or when you first see it in big ways. There's still parts of it.
Even when you're trying to dissect it, and maybe and people just call me a dumbass, which is fine. Maybe I am, but that doesn't make it good. That doesn't automatically make it. Oh, you just didn't get it, dude. I was trying to fit the film's title or try to find the film's title throughout the. Figure out where it fit in. And I was like, well, I guess they're kind of like possessed, or like, I don't have any idea, because they're not acting like any normal fucking human beings, or there's no actual structure to any of this. So that must have been the only fucking explanation. I think that's what happened, is they didn't have a title for the film. They just filmed the whole damn thing without a title, and then they're like, oh, we have to actually release this. Oh, okay. How can we explain all of this? Possession. They're like, what? That's the title. Possession.
We need a title. Spin the bottle. Let's see what word it lands on.
They have like a wheel of titles.
Possession. We got monsters. We have like weird fucked up convulsion. Possession.
Octopus fucking.
Yeah. I still think that's like octopus limbs, but like a slug body.
Well, they actually, that was actually a movie quote from a movie critic or whatever that was saying like, yeah, this is the movie where the woman fucks the octopus. And that was kind of like a big... like quote or whatever. It's like, oh, it's a movie where the woman fucks the octopus, and it's kind of known as that for a while.
Yeah, do you want to that to be your legacy?
Yeah, a lot of critics love this movie, actually. And so you guys are against the critics.
Octopussy was taken, so they went with Possession.
Possession's
yeah,
it makes sense. I mean, in ways, but it's yeah
like whatever. Say just yeah. So okay, I can pick up on some small things here and there.
Yeah, the first time you watch it, it's like I was saying, it's just...
Yeah, it was just strange. You're trying to pick up on small little things like, what is it? What do these monsters mean? Why? She must have something going on with her, some kind of hallucinations, something. Like, it was really hard to pinpoint, honestly. Because I went between... oh, she's having some out-of-body style type of experiences, and what's the explanation for that? And so I was just trying to piece it together. But honestly, I don't... See, that's the thing about art house. It can be confusing,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mind that. I don't need to get it all on my first viewing.
Not at all.
It also has to keep me interested enough where I'm like...
You were interested?
It was fucking boring. They just put monsters in there just to be like, oh, you still interested?
The guy who designed that monster was the guy who designed E.T., just fun fact.
Yeah, so the monsters were great. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I liked the monster designs. They were creepy and it was
weird. It was goopies.
And they all creepy. The scenes where they had weird, crazy, goopy stuff was awesome.
Oh, okay, so you like that stuff. Okay.
Sure, cool. That was great. I didn't mind the slug fucking. It's weird. But yes. I don't mind weird. It's weird is entertaining. The rest of it is fucking boring. It's the first time I've wanted to fall asleep while we've been watching a movie. I wanted to pass out. If it weren't for like something shit, okay. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I wake up and the rest of it was just like I'm not even that tired. I slept this morning.
I had terrible sleep.
It was putting me to sleep because like you don't need to have. I don't even know. Like, I couldn't even... It's hard to even keep track of the dialogue at a certain point. Right. And when you do, like, you're making the effort. That's the worst part. You're making the effort to listen to the dialogue, to try and follow what it is that... road they're trying to bring you down.
Yeah.
Like, narratively, what they're trying to convey, whatever theme or whatever. You're just trying to latch onto something by listening. And when I listen, I fucking got nothing. I didn't get the theme. I didn't get what they were working towards, and the dialogue was so fucking all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It was constantly confusing for no reason. It felt like it was for no reason. It served no purpose.
Okay.
And if you can explain the purpose to me, that'd be great.
There's a lot of different things you can pull from it, right? I mean, there's a lot of different themes, but I kind of want to go around the board to see what everybody thinks what they picked. Right? It's interesting that you picked up something about it being like an out-of-body experience, potentially. That's interesting.
That's all I got because I kept going to not the fact that it's maybe they're possessed. I'm like, that's possible. Or I thought that was possible just because they were doing strange things. And the people around the two of them seem to be a little bit more normal.
Mm-hmm.
The married couple, right? So besides those two, everybody else kind of was a little more normal. Mm-hmm. At least for our house film and stuff. Their motivations seemed normal. Their actions seemed a little bit more normal. Even the weird guy, he just seemed kind of eccentric, like the lover.
Yeah.
He was just eccentric, but he was still, he had a normal fear of death and a normal, like they had normal fears and thoughts, generally, you know, as normal as you could be, right? Yeah, like, obviously it's still a little strange, like in the context of the film, but the two of them were doing things that were nonsensical all the time. Like, it just didn't make sense for them. Mm-hmm. She's like shoving clothes in the fridge and shit like that. You're like, this isn't something... that somebody does, this isn't like an art house thing. This is something somebody does when something's wrong with them. Either they have...
Yeah,
they have something wrong with them. Well, she had something inside of her because that's why she keeps... She keeps like, she had that scene where she was like gooping.
Oh, and the famous subway scene. Gooping. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like shit like that. So you're like, oh, something's clearly affecting her internally. So I guess, you know, I could be anything.
Yeah.
Could be anything. But that's why I took that from it, because they both of them were doing weird shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That made it seem like something was going on within them. So possession with the title being possession, I could see that, because he's like cutting himself, she's like cutting herself, and they're doing weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, for me, that's reminiscent of like a possession movie. Same thing. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You know, the crazy convulsion, the subway scene.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, and the stuff like where she's killing dudes in the apartment. So
yeah,
yeah, and all the dudes that she killed seem, for this movie, normal as well. The private investigator.
But they don't need normal people in this movie. They're bringing the movie down. They gotta get the normal out of there. Let the crazy, you know, succeed.
Yeah, well, yeah, the crazy one.
Yeah,
I just don't understand like what the crazy was. Alien. I fucking don't know.
There's a lot. Man. There's a lot.
I don't know, because they have like. They have like a she was like creating him the whole time, like another version. She's like, oh, I finished.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, she was making him with like body parts or something. She was like using shit from the guy she was killing. I don't know. Uh-huh. Like, and also, even if that was the answer, is that entertaining? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. So, yeah.
Just because it's like, if that's the answer, or even asking the question, I'm not that entertained. I'm not enjoying myself analyzing this right now.
Okay.
Like my analysis, I'm not having fun
right
now. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know, man. I just it's just confusing.
Did you feel possessed by the movie?
Oh
yeah, possessed by sleep.
Yeah, possessed by sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sequel, the Andrew sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this and Tetsuo, why you always do
this? Oh, yeah, there's an interesting one. I mean, I guess because there are two kind of weird movies that I've picked. Which would you prefer?
Tetsuo, probably. Yeah.
The soundtrack, probably.
It had a soundtrack and cooler visuals.
Okay.
It was just slightly more interesting, but it also has the same effect on me, where it's like, at certain points, I'm just not interested.
Okay.
Yeah. But
and with Tetsuo, I think I had a little bit of a better idea of what the fuck they were actually trying to say.
That too. Like, I felt
I mean,
like
it's
I was
pretty out there,
it,
but...
It is,
like,
yeah.
Like, I felt like I was kind of getting it. This one, I was like, I guess? Like, Why? Just why? It's my question.
I just love seeing
you. Why do
you
need to make an art house movie to say this? To say whatever it is you're saying in this movie. It just doesn't feel necessary.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like one thing, though, or can it be just like...
It could be anything.
Right. Like, there's a lot of things.
Just all the directions it was headed seemed stupid.
Okay.
Well, like, maybe it's profound, but like... Not just seemed.
I mean, if you weren't entertained by it and you weren't having a good time, well, then there's nothing you can really do. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, I've watched like.
But you can also be interested by it. It depends on who you are.
I've watched like art house films that are out there. I've seen like Lars von Trier stuff. I've seen like
you saw F for Fake,
Blue Velvet. I've seen.
Have you seen Antichrist
out there? In my opinion,
have you seen Antichrist?
It is art housey though.
Have you seen Antichrist?
I haven't seen it. I've only seen the first 5 or 10 minutes.
A lot of people say that movie was semi-influenced by this movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, it'd be interesting to see. But I already from the beginning of Antichrist, I was
this
more
is just
interested
the super the phantom slow-mo. No.
Yeah, just probably the way it was shot. So maybe that's another criticism of this film that I'm not really I hadn't given too much thought, but maybe it was the way it was filmed as well.
Okay.
Just because the cuts and the pacing, it was all just quick cuts, so it didn't let you follow anything really easily, and it was constantly
changing
and like it didn't have any style. I mean, that's the thing. Lars von Trier, you're saying Antichrist, that is stylish as hell. That beginning, that intro sequence, that is fucking great to watch, even if it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really cool to watch that just from a visual perspective. But this one, I just never got that with the camera work, with the cutting, the way it was cut, and with the pacing of the dialogue and the performances. Here, I'll say this.
Actually. Yeah.
The performances were pretty good because they were weird as fuck, and that's hard to do. So
yeah.
She was doing weird shit. He was doing weird shit, and that's interesting to watch.
Yeah.
That's it though.
So Isabella Adrani actually won the top prize at Cannes, and she also won the French Caesar, which is like the French Oscar for that year. So she did win like big awards and stuff, a lot of like actress awards and things like that for that year.
People at Cannes do weird shit though.
Yeah, but
they're not always right.
They're not always right, but I do generally like their. I find their picks interesting. I always want to check out their picks. Yeah,
sometimes they're completely uninteresting.
That depends. Usually, I find they're a lot more right than they're not, in my opinion.
That's fair.
But yeah. I mean, teach their own.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Whatever. It might just be me, but I was just...
No, I mean, it sounds like you might be at the table, which I was suspecting. I don't
think I'm the only one who was tuning out there, but I was like, I was trying so hard to be engaged with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, because with these types of movies, like with Tetsuo and now this or whatever...
I feel exhausted by them.
Yeah.
I feel like I've just been. I feel like I'm slurring my speech. I feel like I'm. It's.
Well, this movie is a lot longer than Tetsuo. It's affected
me physiologically as well as mentally.
Yeah, so, I can agree with that. That was an ordeal.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, it's physically, mentally. So I've been drained. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, that's why I'm here. So Alex, were you? Are you possessed by the film? How do you feel, boy?
Okay. Zach, remember the Tetsuo episode when I said sometimes it's a good idea to go off the beaten path?
Yes.
This is not what I meant. I've seen this film. I saw this film.
Did you?
Yeah, years and years ago. It was either like a bad VHS.
it could have been, yeah.
It was either like a regular VHS copy or it was a really bad online copy. They're both the same in terms of quality.
I guess, yeah.
So if I had to describe this movie, like the experience of it, it starts off innocently enough.
Yes.
Because you have to get to know the characters.
Yeah.
But it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. It's like you take a toddler, like a 2 or 3 year old, and if you don't have one, visit your local Catholic priest. So you take a toddler and you strap him to a wheelchair in a dark room, and you force feed him LSD, peyote, and mescaline, and then you put a projector behind him, and then on the screen in front of him, you're going to show him all the weirdest movies like Possession and Inside and Martyrs and Salo and The Human Centipede and a Serbian film and The Devils.
Yeah.
And you play it both forwards and backwards all at the same time.
That's just good parenting. That's what that is.
And then you mix in dubstep into the soundtrack.
Now you've gone too far.
You speed it up and then you play it as well in a second audio track, and you slow it down, you play it backwards. So after 12 hours of that, you take that kid and you take him to the nearest almost infinite set of stairs and you throw him down and you strap a GoPro to his head, and then while he's going of course the GoPro is going to get destroyed, so you make sure you're recording that footage somehow, and that's kind of the experience of what watching this film is like.
Can we watch that
movie? I want to see that movie.
I do want to see that movie, though. Yeah. That's the difference for me.
You know what? Speaking of, I just had this idea. I'm going to make a music video. I'm taking a page out of Topher Grace's like schedule. Okay. All those movies I just mentioned, I'm going to take those and mash together the best parts and put the music to Die Antwoord's Fatty Boom Boom to it. Yeah. If you haven't seen that music video, that's an experience. You know, I think this film, I think did the director write the script as well?
I believe so, yes. Okay. Yes.
I think that this script in its early drafts was just a regular old people not getting along, getting divorced, like a couple not getting. And the director looked at it and he said, yeah, I'm going to spice it up a little bit. So he dropped acid. And he did a few rewrites. Oh, it's just like the Holy Mountain. You saw the Holy Mountain.
Yeah, I've seen Holy Mountain.
Yeah. So the director of that film dropped acid and then wrote the script for that film, which is why it was what it was.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened here. And then some of the actors before their takes, they would drop acid. so they could get into it.
Well, the director,
then I felt like I was, Holy Mountain made me feel like I had dropped acid.
Yeah.
And I was going on a trip. This didn't, I did not feel like I was going on miserable. Any kind of a trip. I actually think I would have, I forgot to mention this, I feel like I would have benefited from being drunk or high watching this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, the director,
the only time, I never say that.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? If I could have been on any drug, or drunk or whatever, and it would have been a better experience.
Andrew, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it did not make it a better experience.
Are you high right now?
No, not right now. But no.
Did it kill your buzz?
We'll get to me.
So the director actually, I remember he actually said this movie was semi autobiographical because he actually was going through a divorce. When he's coming up with this movie.
Got it. That
so
makes
a
sense.
Lot of things actually were coming out raw from his like own emotions and things like that as well.
That
so
makes
that might give you a bit of insight as well.
Complete into, sense as to why. Because if you've ever gone through a bad breakup or a divorce, it not only affects you and the person you're with profoundly,
right.
but the people around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Margie and Heinrich and Heinrich's mother.
Yeah.
I loved Heinrich's performance.
I knew you'd love him,
because he was trying to seduce Mark when in the first scene they had together. He walks in, he's like, his shirt's open and stuff.
And beats the shit out of him.
It's like he wanted a threesome or something.
Yeah, a triangle.
Yeah.
That's why he even had it physically. He was holding it up. Yeah. Good. That's a great scene. I love when he's bouncing off the walls and stuff. He's like...
That was a brilliant scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just following. I bet the director said, follow what I do. And he did that. So,
I don't know. It's interesting. Like just hearing some of the behind the scenes things, like the subway scene, like he was trying to like describe it. And then in more simpler terms, you're just like, fuck the air is what he said. And then pretty much like she just kind of went on a whole crazy thing, like way beyond even like what he expected and stuff. But I don't know if it's because she was so far gone at that point in the production or I have no idea. But
you know, I think you picked this film because this film describes every relationship you've had. It's either this or Necromantic.
Necromantic is okay. I just want to say that for Jack because I'm sure Jack still likes this movie more than Necromantic. But yeah, I just want to say that just to hit Jack, a low blow for Jack.
I don't know, you were the first to leave the room after, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't quite the same. Like, Jack couldn't move after Necromantic. He was like, Zach, never show that movie again.
It wasn't a Freddy got fingered kind of get up and leave. It was just, I got stuff to do, I gotta go.
I was gonna get the memory card. So it was a practical get up and leave.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
If there wasn't a practical reason, I would have sat here until we started recording. So it wasn't I didn't get up for my reaction to the movie.
That's fair.
Not yet at least.
it was definitely an experience.
Yes.
And I probably would watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you do get more out of it, I find, if you do watch it again. Like I certainly do, and you know, anybody's a fan of the movie, they'll definitely tell you the same thing, that you're always finding new things, new theories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I got a theory. I think this film influenced a lot of what we see in mainstream culture today. Okay. I think Jim Carrey was inspired by this movie. You see some of his early acting.
Uh-huh.
He's like, Isabella on Johnny. That's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
and then he goes off and does Ace Ventura and
it's
Dumb
like
and
when
Dumb.
He comes out of the rhino, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And then when Sam Neill's in her apartment, and there's that one shot of where he's looking around in the living room and he grabs his junk.
Yes, I was wondering if anybody saw
I think
that,
hip-hop guys saw that film. They're like, yeah, I'm going to do that shit, motherfucker. You know?
I think you just grasped at straws.
Maybe.
Hey, Zach, I feel like you should have unplugged the clock so that there was no time while we were watching it, there was no clock under the TV because...
Hey, I didn't realize you'd have a problem with the pace, man. The pace was just breezy for me, man.
I was like, he said it was 2 hours. I'm like looking down, I'm like, what time did we start? What time did we start? What time is it now?
No, it ended about the time I was expecting,
I was like, where is this going? How much time is left? Where is this going? How much time is it? Why is the clock there? Why is the clock there? I was about to get up and move the clock to another room so that I didn't have to know.
I'll put tape over it next time for you.
Whenever I pick a movie, he'll just be like, all right,
Yeah.
I block out the windows. I'll block out any sort of thing that distracts you.
Actually, I feel like you just need to strap me down like Clockwork Orange style and just that's what you're going to have to bring in for your movies.
Do we take turns dropping into
your eyes? Don't let me dry out. You know, you have to keep my eyes. That's just Zach's job because he's seen the movie. So
that's true. I don't really have to.
He has to do the eyedroppers for my eyes. And yeah, that's how I'll watch that.
Do you really want to trust Zach with a little apparatus by your eye during the movie?
Just putting apple juice
like
in
him.
There. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
See, already.
Yeah.
My eyes are sticky. Oh.
I mean, I might find that to be relieving, though.
Apple juice.
Because then I'll be watching, and then you'll put apple juice in my eye. I'll be like, thank God, it burns, but it's better.
I feel something.
Yeah, sure.
Man, what happened? I feel like you brought in a couple movies I liked, and then it's just been...
No, I'm on this trend now where I just want to fuck you guys up. And I'm loving it.
It's like, man, I could just go find some art house and start bringing that shit in. Start bringing some art house that's just fucking useless. That doesn't...
Oh, I disagree with that, but... I mean,
I don't know, man.
Anything else, Alex? Or
yeah, I think Sam Neill took some smack a bitch lessons from Sean Connery.
A little bit. Yeah, that was a little awkward for sure. But I think that's also again part of like one of the theories or whatever I'll say. But
yeah. Yeah, I did find actually. There is one thing I kind of picked up on, and it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that you said it was kind of autobiographical, right?
Yeah.
A
little bit.
It
yeah.
seemed like there was, especially when it came to the wife, there was this, there was always this resentment. It always felt like he was making her out, or at least writing her out to be the bad guy all the time. Like, she cheated, she's evil, she's got, like, she's doing all this fucked up stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was always a problem with her, and she always seemed sinister, and she... Like it was just one of those things. And then, that's what made for me that smacking scene even more awkward, just because it's like, oh, here's some domestic abuse on top of that. So I'm like, clearly, because you could tell this is somebody who's been through a rough divorce and hates women.
Mm.
Like, that's the vibe I get.
Mm.
So I'm like, I don't know if like maybe he was just trying to get those feelings out on paper.
Yeah, that's probably
because
a lot
when
of
you
it
go
too.
Through the divorce, it's easy to devolve.
It's the things you wanted to do but couldn't.
Yeah, you devolve into that, and I'm like, that's what I kept seeing, and I'm like, that's not super. That's not comfortable to watch. I mean, that's not the idea. Wasn't to make this comfortable, obviously, to watch, but.
Especially to the point that she's like bleeding and shit. Like,
but it's like, oh, well, I think that's what adds to it as well, is that it's just not it's not fun to watch some basic like divorce revenge porn. That's not something I want to watch, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, and I wouldn't want to see it on the reverse either.
Sure.
Like with a guy either, because I find that uncomfortable as well, or not enjoyable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I don't need things to be like nice and happy to enjoy them. I can enjoy fucked up shit. I enjoy a decent amount of fucked up shit. This isn't my brand of fucked up shit. I enjoy.
This is the fucked up
shit,
Andrew.
Yeah, because I don't like things that clearly show that they like. There's a, at least in the script, an underlying. There's this underlying misogyny, and I don't enjoy that.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you said it was autobiographical. I was like, I kept thinking that the whole time. I'm like, whoever wrote this, because I didn't know that he had written it.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote this fucking, like, they must have got through a shitty divorce and fucking hated, like, women. They must hate women. That's what I thought. And then, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just reminded me. But yeah. Anyway. Sorry. Just reminded me of that there, so.
You know, everything's getting remade these days. I think this will be one. And the theme song, there's definitely a theme song that fits just perfectly.
Possession by Sarah McLachlan.
No. It goes a little something like this. Nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol.
I don't know if I know this one.
Queens of the Stone Age, bitch.
Oh.
Yeah. Feel good hit of the summer. That's what the song is called. Feel good.
I should have got that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, Alex? Or
yeah,
is it
that
time
just,
to move on to...
That just flattened out whatever joke that was going to be. So in conclusion, hey, Zach.
Hey.
Fuck you.
That's a good callback.
Yeah, I think Zach's misinterpreted the meaning of the show or the
oh, you think
the premise of the show?
Overrated,
I think,
movies then?
Yeah, it's no. It's like, oh, it's underrated movies, right? And then Zach's just like, oh no, it's fuck you movies. It's just the fuck with you podcast. That's what Zach's doing now.
Keep you on your toes.
Underrated.
Man. Keep you on your toes.
So none of you are ready.
Yeah, it's the not. I've gone from Jack's not ready to no one's ready. Yeah. See, it's a natural progression, evolution.
Yeah, he just wanted to like make you feel safe, so you can get a certain amount of episodes deep, feel comfortable, and
yeah,
then
and
like,
then sock you
here, motherfucker.
Yeah, just, here we go.
These are my underrated air quotes.
This is number 32, so it's time to flip the tables, just like Samuel in that cafe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, him throwing the chairs and stuff, and they had to get, like, two or three chefs and, like, two other guys in the restaurant.
Doggy pile.
Taking down. It was, yeah, you love that
scene. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, early in the movie, too, like, the first, like, 10 minutes or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and you knew it was going to be weird and art. Like, I knew pretty much right away. Like,
yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
It, like, 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You know right away, like, from, like, the way he's even dealing with the briefcases.
Oh,
if
picking
you
it up,
that.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
He picks it up, then he drops it down, and then he picks it up.
Yeah, and then he awkwardly tries to pick because it's like three briefcases. Yeah, it was a weird. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So, Mr. McTwist.
Oh, it's my turn.
I guess it is, yeah.
Okay.
You're kind of giving away what your thoughts are, but I guess you're going to get it all out
now.
Well,
you don't know. You're assuming too much, man.
Fair enough. Maybe you're judging me, man. That's fair. That's
I don't
fair,
like
but
being
I just,
judged.
But just the vibes you were given, you know, kind of seem negative, so we'll see.
Well, you know what? Then I'm going to start with the things that I did like about this movie, just to change
Since
it.
No one said very much about that,
Just to you know, change the vibe just a tiny bit.
Okay.
Well, the one thing I will definitely say that is probably my favorite part of the whole movie is I just really dug how it was shot and directed. Mm-hmm. Definitely, like, you can tell this is, as we've kind of discussed, this is a very auteur film. Mm-hmm. This is clearly the vision of one man.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little background research myself while you guys were talking, it was... And I just liked how you move the camera. I can even...
It's always moving.
Yeah, it had a very Raimi-esque vibe to it at times. So even though it's funny how you mentioned both Evil Dead and this film came out the same year.
Yeah.
It just had that free-flowing. I can see like artists like Robert Rodriguez seeing this film and taking that into his own films. Just I really enjoyed that. So on that count, I thought that's what was really pulling me in mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Acting, yeah, no, the lead actress, the dual
Isabella Adrani, yeah,
the dual roles,
amazing.
It actually took me a while. I was like, oh, it is the same actress.
It is. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 100%. Sam Neill, same thing.
Yeah, Sam too. and seeing Sam Neill as a, you know, young lad is cool.
Yeah, really young. He'd only been in the business for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and just like the setting was neat, and you know,
Berlin, yeah, which is important too.
Well, seen by the Berlin Wall and all that.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and that's about it.
Okay.
okay.
No, fair enough. That's more than I expected. I will say that's more than I expected.
I will call this basically. I was thinking of like, what movies is this reminding me of?
Yeah.
And the ones I could come up with is The Mummy.
The Mummy. Fuck, explain that.
Building it back together into one thing, you know. You have the mummy who's just like a skull, but each time he gets like a new person or something, he forms more.
That's interesting, because that little tidbit actually reminds me a lot more, although it's very different, because Hellraiser is
yes
the movie.
Oh,
the
yeah,
same
yeah, yeah.
Thing.
That's,
it's definitely Hellraiser, because that's the most of the movie.
I wonder if Hellraiser
it.
Took something from here.
Hellraiser is literally like, oh yeah, it's what is the guy again, is it like, I forget the guy that they're trying to feed bodies.
I know what you're talking about.
It's basically, yeah, they're trying to like feed him dead bodies or whatever. Most of the movie doesn't even have Pinhead in it.
Yeah.
Pinhead's actually kind of a good guy in the first movie, which is kind of dope.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's like a moral arbiter kind of.
Yeah.
Friend.
He kind
of
comes in and he's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But that's like most of Hellraiser is that. It's like if you mad just that. Like part of the guys going to the apartment and her like bringing them, like that's Hellraiser.
And the other
two
movies that came to mind were Vertigo and The Brood.
The Brood is actually a common comparison with the actress.
Well, just the actress and even just
kind
of like
well.
What the reveal of like, well, that's fucked, is a little, you know, in terms of like shock value, I kind of had the same like, okay. Oh, okay, that's a little fucked up.
Yeah.
Vertigo, of course, with the doppelganger and people, you know, looking off each other. So there's a lot of that sort of kind of mixed together, which I thought was, you know, obviously the Mummy. I'm thinking of the Brendan Fraser one.
I'm trying to think by that.
Well, just because of the, like, the, he starts as like a skeleton, and each time he, like, in this case, I don't know if the dead bodies in this movie, he absorbed them and then slowly became the doppelganger or whatever. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But it's, but that's something that came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'll get on to,
yeah,
the meat of my opinion. I'm very much kind of in agreement with Andrew on most of the parts. I was having a hard time following. I was quite bored at times. I do think this was, out of all of the movies you've shown me, not just with the show, Zach, but in entirety, was one of the hardest ones to kind of pay attention to.
So you were getting more excited by, like, Necromantic. What you're saying.
I was getting more angry at Necromantic.
Which is more interesting.
In a sense, but I was more like, this, like, I hate this so much, Zach, for making me watch this. This movie, I was more like, I was frustrated because I felt like I'm trying to, like, what is this actually trying to say?
Right.
I see so many little things that can be interpreted in so many different ways. So as an art house film, it did its job there. There was times where I've seen, oh, is this kind of like, we saw the divorce angle. I saw that too.
I also
saw elements of, you know, someone who's a recovering drug addict and everyone around him trying to deal with it. I saw her just as like someone maybe who's completely out of her mind and just everyone just trying to deal with it. She leaves and comes back. So there's little things I saw there as well. But definitely the divorce angle, because
That's the main
with the kid face and the family and all that. But yeah, this was just, it was, I was not like, nothing really was shocking me. I was more just kind of like, okay,
what would you think of the subway scene?
Whatever.
You didn't think I was crazy, like, no. The performance and everything?
I was just kind of like, why is she screaming so much? Please shut up.
No one has any idea what was going on there, right? No guesses, no throws.
Well, she had a miscarriage or something. Like,
that's kind of what I did, too.
Well, and, like, obviously what's happening. But it was just kind of like, okay. And then dead bodies, and then blow up the apartment, and... And then here's taxi, ram the car, get shot.
I love that. Yeah.
All that stuff. Like, there's things that are a little absurd where you can't help but laugh at times.
Just like, for sure.
This is kind of silly at times, but.
Emmerich.
But just overall, I just could not. It just felt like a bunch of little ideas that had no real focus.
Okay.
Because I had a hard time just trying to focus and narrow down what exactly am I getting out of this personally as an audience.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I can, what you said, Andrew, is just the overall, a film's got to, regardless of what it's saying, whether it's through metaphors or themes or whatever, at least it's got to draw an audience in some way through entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Something, whether, and for me, the only thing that was drawing me in was the craftsmanship of the director and his approach to how to tell a story visually. And that part I did enjoy, for the most part, but it was style and just a bunch of pretentious substance. I just was like, okay.
Yeah, that's what it, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit there, and I'm sure the second time you watch, you may pick up on a few things here and there, because now you're just... You're no longer asking what am I trying to get out of this.
You
know what's coming.
You can look for little things.
You can look for little things here and there, but just there's films that we've, like, even in, like, Tetsuo, like, I got way more out of it, way more enjoyment.
Yeah, I would definitely say Tetsuo was more of a, like, a streamlined movie compared to this.
I got way more out of that. Even, like, some of the, like, as even like movies like Session 9 that we watched, like that one.
Well, that's a completely different movie.
Well, it's still an out there film, like, what the fuck's going on type of shit.
Bit.
But even that just had, you know, a bit more of, like,
it's like atmospheric.
More structure in terms of just its pacing. And that's the other thing, too. This I read that this film had a shorter American cut.
Yeah, because of, they cut it down big time because of the censorship. This was actually a Video Nasty. Back in the day, this was part of the famous Video Nasties, where they, in UK, they were banning all these movies. At the time, Evil Dead was another one of them. There was a whole lot of movies. I believe Tenebrae from Argento, or in Inferno as well. Right.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of, there's a select number of films.
Well, I can see, this one, because it deals with a lot of, like, religious themes, with, like, talking about God, and what do you think about God, and...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Like, he's a disease, and it's like, okay, that's going to offend some people right there.
There's a lot of just, like, grotesque things, even in the movie, with the monster and the miscarriage, and yada yada, right? There's a lot of stuff that would be enough to just trigger them back in the
day. I guess.
And it was just the right time where they were developing the whole Video Nasties thing, that it's like, oh, okay.
I'm sure it wasn't the slug-fucking, octopus-fucking...
Yeah.
That got they immediately love that. Banned. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's just not what did it.
Yeah, it's just... No, there's just a few things, and it was just kind of hard to follow in terms of... Because, again, the disorienting cutting and just hard cuts from just this sudden noise to silence and all that.
Yeah.
Like there's some effective parts, and I love the camera that just keeps following and keeps going.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
You don't see that a lot.
No, not really. Yeah. And it's not... Especially nowadays. But, just... This was hard to... Like, I was trying to figure out what is going on. Like, I didn't even know he was a fucking international spy until I read.
You didn't see that.
I didn't pick that, no. And I'm just like...
That's what I mean. There's a lot coming at you, so it's fair enough. Because I was going to ask about the whole pink socks thing. Like,
I got the pink sock, the detective with the pink socks, but even that, I'm just like... Like, there's other things I was thinking the film's going to go, and then it doesn't. It just...
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, it just seemed like it was just a conscious of ideas of just how you feeling this day. I'm gonna write it down, and you just kind of scrambled into something of a story, because there's no plot. This whatever plot there is, it's muddled and bloody and silly.
It's a silly movie, ain't it?
Just a little bit. And the one thing that was kind of driving me nuts a little bit is I really don't get. And maybe you can enlighten us, Zach, but I don't really understand why it took place in Germany by the Berlin Wall.
Because
I really don't
get it.
Because it
represents division of, you know, like East and West Germany and all that, right? Okay. That's an easy, just, it's a good location to kind of have. You're talking about a divorce.
Would have been more interesting if, you know, that place was on the other side of the wall and they found a way to keep going back and forth, adding some tension in some plot synopsis.
Yeah, but they're not gonna be like separated that way. They're just showing the wall as like a representation, right?
Oh, they did a poor job at doing that.
I think it's fair. I think it's been done even before too. Like a lot of movies, even Suspiria, the remake, kind of has that even a little bit. Yeah. A lot of different things like that.
That's fine, but it's just more like, oh, it's the Berlin Wall. Moving on.
But it is more than that. Like I said, it is.
No, I get.
Bouncing off the divorce thing. It's just a small kind of thing.
No, I get that, and I understand that. That's what, you know, a lot of people have written about the film and what they get from it. But just from an initial first viewing,
oh, for sure,
it doesn't have that, say, Kubrick-esque type of draw where a lot of films you see the first time you may not get it. You may be a little like, what did I just sit through at times? But
I don't know about like to this level though.
No, there is something like where even if a film that is supposed to maybe not hit you all at once, at least there's something that's supposed to draw you back.
Yeah.
And there is none of that for this film. Okay. Nothing will ever compel me to want to watch this again.
Yep.
Interesting.
It is just, okay, that was a bunch of art nonsense. Let's move on.
That's why I bring up those other examples, right? You can watch any other art house film and it has something that draws you in.
One I was just struggling to find something to draw me in besides just how it was shot, and to me that's just not enough.
And that's fair. I mean, if that's the only thing that did it for you, then yeah, it's not gonna be enough.
Yeah, and a few good performances here and there, but overall
yeah, I think the performances are great, but no, like, especially with the two leads.
All the actors, you know, for what they had to do, it was good. There wasn't like, you know, even the kid's fine. There wasn't like a black, she'd be like, ugh. It's just the execution of the story or the message or whatever they're trying to say. And also just keeping an audience, you know, engaged. I don't think it does a really good job at that. At least for me, it didn't. So pretty much I just think it's kind of like, I didn't think it was scary at all.
You didn't find it disturbing at parts, like in different. Yeah, there's things about Isabella Adjani's performances that just kind of every time I watch it, like she just bothers me in a good way.
I can see it. That, but
there's even things like the ballet scene that just is like really off-putting. Like when I watch that, like she's just really fucking creepy to me.
No, and that's fine. But I thought the Gordon, they mentioned The Brood being a movie they bring up to compare.
Yeah, with that actress.
Well, I thought the actress from The Brood was way more creepy and way more.
She also had a way smaller role though.
I'm a little freaked out. This one was just more like. It was like the commitment to the role and just what she was doing physically was like this is intense and this is cool, but just what she was projecting or what she was I don't really care.
Yeah, it's like I know it's like I can tell I'm supposed to be disturbed here, but I don't understand enough of what's going on to have a reaction.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, I get this is supposed to be fucked up, but I just don't care. So therefore, I don't have the proper emotion to really grasp to engage with what she's trying to do. It's like what she's,
I did get uneasy a little bit at certain times where, you know, she was doing certain things that you're like, oh yeah, this is getting me a little nervous. Like for me, it was like she's cutting the meat and grinding the meat.
Yeah,
and I was like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, what are you? What's going on here?
Yeah.
It's a little... You're creeping me the fuck out right now, but I mean,
and then he
kind of deflates,
and then he just starts doing himself. I'm like, okay,
yeah, and then I didn't give a shit. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, all right,
yeah, that was pretty much. I was like, okay,
why? Yeah, I just kept thinking, why?
Okay,
yeah.
It was like, and then it just kind of ended, and then the ending. I was like, okay.
I just thought the monster designs were cool. That's when that shit shows
up.
Well,
yeah,
I
mean,
just like,
they had a great guy doing
fuck.
It.
Fuck. I look at that. I see the long... I was like, man, this is really cool. This movie just got cool. And then the rest of it just goes right the fuck back to being
boring
again.
Oh, yeah, it goes
again.
All...
I was like, god damn it. Why didn't they just have this the whole movie? I would have
been
way more.
You just wanted to be a monster movie?
Fuck, yeah.
Just takes over Berlin.
Oh, my god, yes. That's what I wanted. Tentacle monsters and shit. If they made this into like a Rick and Morty episode or something,
oh my
they
god.
Just had fucking... tentacle monsters going around. They had Cronenbergs running around and shit. I'd love that. I would fucking love it.
Tentacles.
10 out of 10. That's what the movie would be.
Yeah.
Tentacles out of 10.
Tentacles out of 10. I love it.
Yes. Yes, I'd even accept puns if that were the case.
Wow. Wow,
but instead
that's
I got...
That's giving up a lot.
That is.
Instead, I just got... I don't know, boredom. Just fucking boredom. Yeah, it felt like a waste too because they only showed those monsters like, you know, for like just a little bit.
Yeah, it was
design
times,
was just for
yeah.
like, oh, here's a couple.
That's called just having
seconds.
A low budget and they can't show it too much.
Yeah, that could have been it.
A lot of
yeah.
it, you notice it's all in the shadow, in the
it's
dark,
just in the corner.
Yeah, you light it. That's where you have a little puppet that only works in a certain angle and a certain lighting, and you only have a few seconds to get it right. That's kind of like the whole the mechanical shark in Jaws. You can only use it for a certain frames, but then you go one frame more and it gets rid of the illusion and you can tell more that it's fake.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with this. You only show it when it really works. You hold on to it for too long, you get Jaws the Revenge. Where it's just overexposed and you're just like, is this a broken toy in the Universal lot?
And it is.
Jaws 3D though, when it breaks through the glass.
Well, that one's even funnier. Even Jaws 2, they show way too much of it as well because it burns and it has like a two-faced look. It's just like,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, ah, stupid.
So I guess so. Last but not least, I guess we've kind of gotten already a hint from you too. But Rylan, what do you think of this movie?
She loved it.
She's like, best movie I've ever seen.
Tentacles out of 10.
I'm gonna watch this movie, American Hustle, any day.
Oh wow!
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know. I actually think American Hustle looks like a bit of a gem. I don't know. I'm still not.
Would it be better than what about The Hustle?
I'm not familiar with that one.
No, The Hustle, the movie that's coming out in a couple days. What about that one? You think that one will be better than this?
That's a weird fucking comparison.
Well, you said American
Hustle.
I
don't know
so
anything
like,
about
that's
it, but probably.
I'm sorry. You're just reaching there.
Yeah, just like the movie. I'm reaching for nothing. That's right. So it fits.
But anyways, like perils of going last here. I don't know if I have much to say that Andrew and Jack haven't already said.
You can just swear at Zach for like 5 minutes if you want. That would be fine.
I'm gonna.
We can just all tell Zach to go fuck himself.
I'm gonna try and contribute something constructive, but
that is constructive. So then he won't bring another movie like this back.
Make me want to bring more of and these. Then the opposite, actually.
And then we. Oh, so we have to pretend we should have praised this movie. We should have made it so like, oh, it's not. It's
yeah, because then it's like, okay, it's done. I've done my piece. I finally found that movie.
Reverse psychology.
Bingo.
Right. Now he's gonna be like, for next time, he's gonna be like, oh, I gotta find the one that works.
I don't think that's what he's doing. That's just if I know Zach, that's,
I do
that's
like
not
this
what he's
movie
doing.
A lot. By the way, just for the record, I am a big fan.
I don't think that you dislike this movie. I think you like it.
Yeah,
but
genuinely, I wouldn't pick a movie I don't like just to fuck with everybody.
But I still think you're fucking with us. If I know you, I know that you were like, I want to see. Exactly.
I want Tesla.
I know
Waters.
You.
I'm Tesla.
I know
Waters.
You. You get a kick out of this. You're the one who wanted to torture Jack for fun.
Yeah,
I know. I know. What you're like, Zach, and I know that you did this on purpose.
I just have to say I did consent to it, but yeah.
You're gonna watch Freddy Got Fingered. Sit down, Jack.
And I like that movie, too. I mean, just for the record, that's an odd one, and I get why people don't like that, but I think it's kind of funny. I don't know. I don't know why. I just think it's kind of funny.
And you think this is kind of good, so there you go.
Well, I think this is really good. I think this movie is really good. But I understand it's also.
I mean,
not
you
for
can
everybody.
You can you can tell
sure.
A little more effort went into this one than Freddy Got Fingered. But
ooh, interesting.
Like...
okay, I'll concede to that.
Yeah, you hate Freddy Got Fingered, so I'm trying to figure out where it is on your scale. Because whenever you really don't like a movie, Jack, I try to figure out where it is if it's kind of up there with like say Necromantic and all them. I didn't think so.
No,
I would have been really upset if it was, because at least Necromantic is like, I would agree it's bad.
No, yeah.
But, and Freddy Got Fingered, I can see why people don't like it.
This
I
is
can
not
totally...
even in my top 50.
Right. Okay. So, okay, fair enough then. Yeah, so, okay. Anyways, Rylan.
But, yeah, no, like, I'm not sure what I watched or why I watched it or even, like, what they were ultimately getting at. Because, like, it starts off and it's like, okay, you can see... you know, family dynamic, marriage starting to fall apart. Okay, we're exploring that for a bit. Okay, now there's monsters involved and people are dying, and like this should be interesting, but like I'm just getting confused, and I think it just felt really all over the place to me. Like I think once at the point where you have the first death, where you have the private investigator following the wife to the apartment, he sees the monster, he gets killed with the broken bottle. I feel like that was the point for me where I was just like, okay, like maybe now it's gonna come together and have a little bit of more coherence and a little bit more of a focused storyline going forward, and it definitely did not. And I think that is where I lost my patience for the rest of the movie. Like, I was trying so hard to be interested. I was trying so hard to be engaged. I was trying to find something to latch onto and be like, okay, I think I get it. Like, maybe this is where they're going, or maybe that's what they're trying to say, or like that matches with this theme. But I think this is one of those ones where I was just staring at the screen for 2 hours, and I'm just like, I come out of it, I'm just like, I got nothing. I got nothing. Like, there's like some stuff I noticed, like the pink socks thing. I'm like, oh yeah, they mentioned that at the beginning of the movie, but I can't remember why it's significant. And the actress is always wearing a dress of a certain shade of blue that buttons up the back, but I don't know what that's supposed to symbolize either. And I'm sure that I don't know if we're supposed to interpret the happenings on screen as literally happening in that world, or whether it's just kind of how these two have perceived what their relationship has become. And I don't understand the significance of the wife and the teacher being played by the same actress at all. I have no idea what that was supposed to be about.
And the two Samuels as well. Yeah.
Well, that I feel was like maybe a little bit more, because she's creating the version of him that she wanted, like that's kind of what I got out of that.
Yeah,
but no, like the dual role thing with the lead actress, I'm just like, okay, it's the same person, I guess.
They just had different color eyes, right?
That was the difference. Yeah, it was just the eyes, really, and the dress and stuff too.
Well, yeah, she wore white dress.
But by the time we got to the end where there's police cars and taxis blowing up, I'm just like, I have literally no idea what's going on anymore.
I actually like that scene. I find it very funny.
So I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah,
it's just okay.
I just love that.
It's like, okay, they've stopped caring now too. Like, okay,
yeah, this doesn't even matter. I can just enjoy this on its own. It doesn't matter in context of the film. Like, I love the fact that he points a gun at him. He's like, just back up and ram that cop. Drive full speed into that cop car, and he's just like, yes, sir. Yeah, sure. No problem.
See, that's how
chill he is. I was like, oh, that's funny.
There is a comedy here in this movie. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's just the way you see it, and just it's interesting, kind of picking up what different people have seen in it and what you've seen it. And a lot of people have seen this movie as a comedy, which makes a lot of sense if you kind of relook at it and see all the different things and stuff. You can actually look at this as pretty fucking funny. But if, yeah, a lot of people, though...
Should I cut it with, the Seinfeld sound,
I mean, if it makes you feel better, sure.
Yeah, just start doing that, and then it'll become like a Seinfeld, like a weird fucking Seinfeld episode. There you go.
Yeah.
I think it'll work as a comedy. There.
Yeah, it's just like a comedic, love triangle kind of thing.
So Heinrich plays Kramer in this one.
That's right.
Watch the hell out of that, actually. It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
I think we could make a better version of this film if we just made a Seinfeld version. If we just change the characters to just different Seinfeld characters.
Yeah, Jerry playing Sam Neill's character.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course he would be.
I would pay to see that.
That's right.
They just remake the movie.
Yeah,
you're having sex with them, aren't you? You know, shit like that. I'd be way more entertaining.
Do it again.
George would be the
private detective.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
By the way, I got very psycho vibes for the whole private detective going into the house.
You're
fucking dead. I've seen Psycho. I know how this ends.
Well, because you know what's up.
And he got the most brutal murder, I think. Yes. So.
Yeah, I got he got bottle shanked.
And then decapitated shit. Yeah. Cut up in pieces.
And put into the fridge a la It. You know?
Yeah.
That was good shit. Yeah. Everything in the apartment was probably the best part of that movie.
I won't go that far.
The stuff in the apartment, because it was so fucking weird and violent and had all the interesting...
It was an empty room with nothing in except for one dark room and a green bed and then occasionally a squid man going... Yeah, but
they kept having all the cool shit. They had all the cool monsters in it. They had all the cool, killing sequences.
Jack, you should just keep the movie as is, but add your noises. To the squid.
No, sure.
You cut to a GIF of Jack going, just out of nowhere.
Yeah, you just cut him right into the bed,
an Ed Wood kind of movie.
Oh yeah, grab the tentacles, make a move. Oh
yeah, that's my favorite scene of Ed Wood.
I just want to see that probably happened on set. Just she's laying there, he's not moving. Oh, just gyrate a little. It'll look good.
Yeah.
Pull the string.
That's my favorite scene of Ed Wood. Let's shoot this fucker. I laugh every fucking time. That whole scene cracks me the fuck up.
So
great.
Perfect. Another observation. Do you guys think Bob is a weird name for a
kid? Yes.
Yes.
He shouldn't say Robbie or Robert. Robbie.
Yeah, in 1981.
You would never call
or Bobby.
Robert.
Or Bobby?
No.
Or Rob. That's what you would call them.
I know,
kids.
I have a hard time thinking
of
anybody under
Bob
40
until they're
as
like
a Bob.
40s, yeah, and they're like the boss or something.
But that kid
would
be 40.
He's the guy. You go
now.
Talk to Bob. Go talk to Bob. He'll take care of you.
Talk to Bobby,
but
man.
But Bob would be 40 Bobby. Something now, so that makes sense. It's back then. Nowadays, probably not, but back then, sure.
Even back then, I can't think of anybody who was called Bob when they were a kid.
No.
Yeah, people were.
Bobby.
Hey,
Bobby.
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 Best. Oh, Bobby.
That was good.
Great show.
Best part of the movie was the drunk on the train getting the banana.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
That was awesome.
That was pretty great.
All the random
too.
Funny shit. Was
there was a lot.
Good stuff.
There's a lot.
Yeah, he's pull the banana out, and I was like, fuck yeah. Is she sleeping? I guess. Or she just doesn't give a shit. Awesome. Take your banana, buddy.
I wish he would have taken three of them and left her with one. That would have been pretty funny. But
no, I love that he just took one banana.
I'm gonna steal from you. I just want
a banana.
I just want one.
I like a little dark humor in a dark movie.
It's like me on a SkyTrain when it's like 1 a.m. It's like the last SkyTrain, and then you're on there, and then somebody has a pizza that they ordered and brought back with them, and you're like, you just want to open the box, take this one slice of pizza. Thanks, dude.
See, Jack,
just eat it.
See, Jack, that's what you got to do in your next movies. You got to have that scene, but instead they take like a whole pizza. They just take the whole pizza and they try to eat it all at once.
He's got to deliver it, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, naturally. I mean,
deliver it onto the SkyTrain.
Yes. Onto the SkyTrain.
Certain... like, I've got the right one, right?
Which train? It's the 134 train.
Yeah.
Right?
And you roll up the pizza,
yeah.
And you try and eat it, and you try and light it at the other end, too.
Oh,
it's
Vancouver. I mean, yeah, it's just the way people do pizza,
the
you
pizza
know?
Blunterito.
That's a stuffed crust there, yeah. Good shit.
Pizza blunt pie.
Blunteroni.
Blunteroni. Jesus.
What else did you hate, Ryland?
It's
be honest, be the blunt lady. I know who you are.
Well, we were
yeah,
just talking
out with it.
We were just
like,
talking
I mean,
about blunts, though. So
that's true. No,
that's true.
Yeah,
das true.
Like I don't know. I mean, this whole I'm trying to think of like one thing that really sticks out, but I don't know. The whole thing just is kind of just like
just
a mess of WTF. And I have no doubt that a second viewing would
mm-hmm.
get more out of it.
Have a better understanding, but I'm not inclined
to
participate in a second viewing. I honestly had found it very difficult to make it through the first one, so I for me, I think this is a one and done.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
What a buzzkill.
It's too bad. too bad you don't like a good movie, Andrew.
He likes good movies. That's the problem.
I don't know. Yeah, I've seen too many good movies this week. I can't.
Me too.
Yeah, I just know.
Endgame spoilers ahead.
Yeah. Cover your ears, Alex. Endgame's coming.
I'll forget tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Just like this movie.
Everybody's talking about Avengers.
Can we snap this movie out of existence?
I'd destroy
myself to save the rest of you from this movie.
Should have aimed for the head.
That's right. I would just snap, and then there you go.
But the problem is if you did that, only
I'll bring balance back to the universe by snapping this movie out.
But no, man, that movie would end up surviving, and you'd have all these
Infinity
types of movies.
War spoilers.
You'd have Tetsuo and all the sequels, and you'd have Possession. You'd have Necromantic. All those two movies. All those movies would be what's left, and then the world would be like. You know, putting like Necromantic as like the high art and stuff like that, and it would be like the movie that would play for a year in theaters. It'd have like the box office record, like Avatar record, or soon to be Endgame.
What if this?
Record.
Yeah,
wait,
what if this
so
movie
is
like a gatekeeper to protect?
Is that all the movies you hate end up staying? That'd be the twist.
That'd
be
the time travel fucks with you thing.
Yeah, exactly. You would be like, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of all the bad movies, and those are the ones that actually stay. All the ones that you don't like.
So if like Back to the Future style, where like I go back. I'm going to, like, fuck with things, and it's going to be extra bad when I come back.
Exactly. It's going to be worse than it was before.
Fuck no, dude.
Because now you have no good movies, according to you. It'd get be your, you know, perspective, your opinion.
Yeah.
But
imagine
that. Right?
I'm just now officially going to be wary of every episode that Zach has now.
Yeah, every time.
Like, it was already kind of on that trend a little bit. Like, we had a few, like, you know, Simple Plan... Great start.
Well, yeah, that's
start.
An obvious, like, okay, it's a movie I love. It's a Sam Raimi movie. Even that, though, I didn't know. How you
Amadeus,
take it.
You know, good
Amadeus
shit.
I regret, because Amadeus is...
You regret Amadeus?
I do. That's the one I regret the most. The reason I regret that the most is because is it that underrated, right?
Is this underrated?
Yeah.
No.
I would certainly, and a lot of people would agree, I mean, in terms of people who've seen
overrated.
It.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But in terms of, but Amadeus is a movie that won
like...
several Oscars. It was more so the fact that the director died and you were really pushing to watch it again, Jack. And I do I love Amadeus as well. Yeah, you were. You were like, Zach, show Amadeus. I want to see it again. It's so good.
Because no one else had.
And then I also, well, there's that. But then also, like, I've seen it too and I love the movie. But it's like, it's one of those movies that is like, although I would say it's underrated for the reasons I had stated, but then after showing the movie, everybody was like, well, it's not really underrated because it's, you know, already on some of those lists and stuff. But I think it's lower in terms of those movies that did get success to a degree, but have kind of been a little bit forgotten and people haven't seen it quite as much. But still, it's probably the most non-underrated movie in terms of like it being successful, like that we've shown on the show. So I do kind of regret that one. So that's why I've kind of bounced back to like these crazy, weird, you know, indie movies that have
Phantom of the Paradise.
Coming next week, Hank Goes Crawfishing.
Oh, dude, we watched on repeat. You get a lot of that, man. You get to learn the businessman dance, which was the Donald Trump dance I came up with back in the day. How Donald Trump would conduct business. Whenever he'd finish a deal, I came up with an idea that he would do this businessman dance. And he'd like do this with his belt, and he'd spin around and like do a move and stuff. It was great. A big hit at my high school.
It's great. It's fantastic. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, it was more like in the hips, though. It was more this. But,
this was Apprentice Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that era. Yeah.
Zach. Just always got to throw a little bit of a bomb in these shows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to keep you on your heels. What can I say?
I guess.
I've done my job. I'm curious to see what I'm going to pick for the next one. If I am going to go for maybe a more crowd
pleaser.
I'm
just going to start picking movies that I
liked. Because there's many.
That I liked that nobody else liked. And I'm going to see. Yeah. And it's underrated because only I like it.
You know, so. Well, that's not true.
You know
just,
what?
Well,
Jason,
you guys don't like it.
You know what? I got to say, you know, Jason X is, I think, an underrated comedic gem.
Yeah,
it's not
look,
funny.
If you look back at it, it's a comedy. A lot of people have said it is
a metaphor. It's a satire. It's meta on the whole Jason franchise. It is the Batman Robin of the Jason franchise in terms of comedic gold.
It's not nearly as great as Batman and Robin.
Oh, I disagree.
It's not nearly as funny as Batman and Robin.
I just think, you know, it's
Batman and Robin is just better in every way.
You know, and I think Last Airbender gets a little too much hate as well.
What's that?
Last Airbender. I think that.
Okay.
I think that gets a little too much.
Have you seen Last Airbender, Jack?
No, I haven't.
That should be an episode. You're gonna really regret that.
Well, you haven't even seen that. You haven't seen the original series either.
Yeah, too.
No, so
I
don't
care.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the original series, and from what I know about the movie, that's enough to make me cringe.
Yeah, it's bad. You see the show, and it's like one of the best shows ever, and then you're like, "Hey, they're gonna do a movie. That's awesome." And it's just like one of the worst things you could ever see. Like, well, I was flabbergasted, Jack, when you told me like years later that it was an hour and a half long. I thought it was 3 hours. I was like, it's like a 3 hour movie. It's quite long. And you're like, no, it's an hour and a half actually. Yeah. And I'm like, you fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no way. And yeah, it is. It's an hour and a half long. It feels like the longest movie ever. Nothing makes sense. They try to cram that whole first book into one movie and they just don't explain. They just skip. Over,
you know, for
and
a split second,
over.
I thought you were talking about Possession.
I knew you were.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I thought this movie was 3 hours.
Yeah.
No way.
The
pacing of Endgame is way better than this film, man.
Yeah, I had to. I started thinking I was gonna have to take pee breaks. Like, I didn't know what was.
Empty that bladder.
When can I leave? Oh, whenever. When's it safe to leave? Oh, yeah, right now.
Do I have to come back? No.
Should I stay in there? Should I take a shit while I'm there? Just really get as much time out of this as possible.
Yeah, you're possessed by the
So I think the vandalism on the inside of the stall walls is more engaging.
Yes.
I loved how Andrew was like, oh, she's got to take a huge shit or whatever when she's looking at the Jesus statue. And I'm like, oh, you wait to the next scene.
You wait to the next scene. Like, see, you kept on, like, hyping up the movie, and there was something like, okay. See, Zach's doing a better job at making getting the audience to be more anticipated and a little excited for what's going to happen. And you're like, okay, why couldn't the movie do that for me?
I don't know, Jack. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. Seems like these folks weren't very possessed by Possession, but seems like, you know, I'm the one really putting the flag up for this one. I'd say that, you know, you might be possessed to love this movie, or rather not even need to be possessed. I think you'd just love it after watching it like a couple times.
I personally don't think this film needs to be included among one's possessions.
Oh,
that's good. That's good. Nice. Well, you know, don't need to buy it. Just watch it. Oh, you do the golf clap? The golf clap. Getting the golf clap here.
We'll get the gloves on next time for Men at Work, and we'll go.
But yeah, this is a movie that looks like it's flabbergasted everybody here.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
looks like I'm the one who had the good time.
I think a movie that you have to watch it multiple times for it to be good is not a good movie. Apparently,
I wouldn't say that.
If that's the thing, if it's like, oh no, it'll be good the third time you watch it or something, it's like,
No,
it's not good.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, you start to get more things. Like, I think definitely when I saw it the first time, I was interested in what was going on. There's a lot of things I didn't get, obviously, and there's just so much being thrown at you that it's just insane. It's like super hysterical is what I would say. If I were to sum up the movie, like, briefly, it'd be, like, it's hysterical, like, to the nine kind of thing. But there's a lot going on, and it is interesting to kind of look back and... You find different things. You kind of play around with theories that people have come up with. There's like a million. Super fascinating. And yeah, I don't know. I love this movie. So fuck y'all. Fuck y'all, bitches.
We all together say fuck you, Zach.
Fuck y'all.
Take this movie back where it came from. Anything like this.
I'm gonna buy you the really sexy like DVD set that they put out.
I bet you they never even put this shit on Blu-ray ever again.
I don't know if they did. Exactly. But they have like a really
they're like,
nice
oh,
DVD.
We actually want to sell copies of things that we press, so let's not.
No, they made like a dope ass like DVD set for sure though, that's like really nice. That's why I don't own it, because it's like expensive.
For a movie that has like a plus 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. This is a tad over. This is just a tad
overrated.
Yeah,
it's an
85, overrated.
I believe. Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Critically
like,
overrated, I think.
Yeah. I disagree.
Yeah. I disagree. Honestly,
and if you look
I feel
at the
like,
reviews,
especially you saying
too.
Con in the reviews, it just feels like it just feels like they pretentious. It just feels like they're trying to give substance to something that doesn't quite have as much as... Or... They're trying to give, yeah. They're trying to say, oh, this has so much more. They're valuing the substance and the basic what you can read into it and, mm-hmm. and the art house aspect mm-hmm. of it more than the actual enjoyment of the film, like a film that you would enjoy, which I think is
maybe you're just
kind
not
of the
into
point.
This type of movie, man.
Yeah,
maybe
I
that's
think the
what
point of reading or consuming any kind of narrative. Is to find some kind of enjoyment, whether it's by disturbing you or horrifying
yeah.
you. It's to find some kind of enjoyment. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
Or that's why we consume it. So I feel like they didn't give a shit about that. They cared more.
I disagree. I was definitely.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, this is deep.
There's a lot of that too, but I think it is entertaining as well, just with the hysterics.
And I think it's pretentious. I just think it's pretentious.
Okay.
And boring.
That's fair.
There is like, I feel like there's. Kind of like two like extreme reactions you can have to like an art house type of mm-hmm. movie, and like in not understanding, like the one could be just like, oh well, I don't get this, therefore it's stupid, it's garbage, it's trash. And then there's the other one where you're maybe like overly humble about it, and you're just like, I don't get this, therefore it must be fucking brilliant.
I see,
I feel like the truth is probably somewhere in between, but I feel like maybe the critical response is a little bit more towards that second extreme.
Yeah,
a lot of people do love it. Like if you look at a lot of reviews and things, they're giving like top marks, like full.
I would love to read the reviews.
Check it out.
If you're curious, check it out.
But it's
why they love it. Like
it is very fascinating. I think with the movie,
the
different themes
to give it
and
like
things.
A 10 out of 10.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that shit. You have to explain it. You can't just make shit up, because then I'll read your review and I'll know.
No,
you
I don't think you're
are just
making
shit
up.
Not making up like what they read into it, but they're just trying. They're pulling, grasping at straws. But just because I would feel like they saw it and they thought, oh, this is deep. It's brilliant. This must be deep. It's confusing. It must be brilliant.
You must suffer my pain with me through my divorce. It's art.
So all the critics are just people going through divorces. They're just
I
like,
actually,
yes,
I
this movie.
The majority are male critics.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
Usually.
Yeah,
and
like
same.
I'm positive that it would
what's
be, especially
the,
back then, it would be mostly male critics.
And what's the
probably.
Divorce percentage? It's like over 50%
yeah,
by now, so probably.
Yeah. They were probably all in hateful marriages or divorces and shit. And they were just like, fucking... They were doing the Citizen Kane, man. They were fucking...
I love that you can make that reference now.
I know. I'm so proud of myself right now, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Very happy. It's not the Shia LaBeouf reference. It's the Citizen Kane reference now.
Why not both?
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, absolutely. That would make more sense to me as to why they would review it so highly. Because yeah, if you're bitter about a divorce or you're hating women right now, you'll love it.
Yeah, you'll get all your emotions out and you'll have a great time. You'll be on your feet by the end of it. Yeah. I mean, for sure, that's like, I guess, an extreme coincidence. But I mean, outside of that, I think there is a lot you can get from it. And I recommend it. If there's one person at this table who's going to recommend it, it's me, obviously, because I brought it in.
No one else.
And no one else at the table. But that's fine.
I mean, I can't speak to what all y'all might like, listeners, but I know it's not my jam.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't even think we need to do final thoughts. I think we'll just go
around. You kind of give in the final thoughts. I think
we'll just go around the table and we can all make different fart noises, and then that'll be our final thoughts on the film.
Right? Yeah, you guys could do the fart noises.
Lead it on.
No, us.
Because
yeah,
I used to do it.
Oh, well, okay. I'll start then. Yeah. It'll just be like my final thoughts.
Oh, so you got like a little bit of wetness, a little bit of air. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's my final thoughts.
That's good.
Alex.
Oh, yeah, okay. See, that's at least a callback. That's at least a callback to the movie.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all it deserves.
Just a little tootie.
Am I supposed to do one now?
That's right, what they're saying. Unless
you want to praise something about the film.
Unless you want to give a final thought.
It's up to you.
An actual final thought? Oh, I mean, I don't know. If you have the patience to sit through this more than once, then I applaud you.
So let's give Zach an applause. Let's go.
Yay. This is like my third or fourth
Yay,
time.
Yay, Zach.
I'll applaud myself as well.
Pat yourself on the back.
Exactly. There he goes. Right. Yeah. Hear that on the mic?
He's seen this more than he's seen Avengers Endgame.
It's true. Although Avengers Endgame I do want to see again, but Andrew also had a problem with the pacing with that movie, apparently.
No, it's fine.
Apparently on the second viewing, but anyways.
Now he's just trying to throw me under the bus.
Well, that's... Did you not say that?
I said that I noticed it more, but I still think it's well-paced.
You're like, oh, the first two-thirds are kind of slow now.
No,
it builds
like,
all
you know
to the end.
Coming,
you're just
like,
waiting for the end.
You're waiting for it because the end's so good.
Waiting for the battle.
Anyway.
Stop trying to get away from what we know, Zach.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I
Possession.
Think that it's very well paced, and it's the opposite of this.
Are you talking about?
It feels
okay.
It feels like half the time its actual runtime. This feels like double its runtime.
Okay.
I felt like it needed a fucking intermission. This movie.
Wow.
Like I hold my pee for Endgame. I fucking. Want to pee. I will drink gallons
but you
of
did
water
hold
to
it.
Get out of here.
You did
because
hold
I didn't
it.
Have to pee, and I was like, nah, I could just dick around in
who
the washroom.
Who can't hold it
pretend,
for 3 hours, amateurs?
But, you know.
You would have missed the great cinema, though, Andrew.
I think you get in your own head or whatever, holding your pee for 3 hours, that whole thing. I think you think like, oh yeah, it's going to be a long movie or whatever, so you sit down 10 minutes later, you're like, fuck.
And then your brain starts to float.
Yeah. Mm. I did that with a friend. I was like, 8 hours, or it's 8 hours. 3 hours, man. He's like getting a coffee or something.
Oh, God.
Gonna get a coffee. I was like, man, it's 3 hours. Maybe don't. Right? And he's like, oh, yeah, or whatever. So he like holds off. He sits down. I think he's got it in his own head. I swear to God, 10 minutes, 15 minutes in that movie, he's like, I gotta pee.
Oh,
I gotta
go.
It's like, fuck. And we're in like the middle row and everything, like the middle of the row.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, he's like, which side? I'm like, dude, both sides are the same. There's the same amount of people on each side. You're fucked. Anyway, yeah. But
yeah.
And that's the kind of movie you want to do that for. This is the kind of movie you're
you just
want to
pee all the time.
You just
want
to pee. Yeah. You
just want
to pee. You want an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to pee for possession. your reaction was great there. You just confused. So that was possession. This is my pick that everybody loved naturally and. Yeah, you guys should check us out on the social medias. I mentioned it before, won't do it again. And it'll be interesting to see what pick I come up with next. But I believe next episode is Alex, is it not?
No, it's Andrew.
Is it Andrew? Andrew,
yeah.
You're the next pick.
Welcome to the show.
Also...
It's been a while. We've been gone for a while. I'm forgetting the order. But what do you got?
I'm not too sure yet. I'm still thinking about it. So I'll let you
Possessed with Leslie Nielsen.
I think don't forget, I don't think we're going to send things to Jack's mailbox anymore. I think now we're going to send it to your mailbox, Zach.
I welcome it,
I think we're passing the torch now. Ooh. And we're going to have them send all the fucked up shit to you now. I think you deserve it.
I think
this is now, Jack, you're let off the hook. I think now Zach has officially earned it.
Jack's so happy. I'm excited too, because I like gifts. I like gifts. So send them to me.
I'm just gonna forward everything to you now. It's in Zach's mailbox, not mine anymore.
That's right. We're just gonna forward it to your mailbox. Zach's mailbox.
Yeah, send it to
Seeing as this is done under your roof, Jack. When we have the inevitable opening of the mail on air, it will find its way back to you one way or the other.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's not mentioned. It's gonna go to my mailbox, but it's gonna end up in your house. I mean, that's the difference. I'm gonna bring it over. So we're not Jack, look at the gems.
We're not off the hook for Anthrax.
That's true.
Yeah. Well,
until next time, folks, get possessed. Woo!